What had changed had been so profound that I looked full at the problem in the face. Like, okay, insomnia, do your worst. I'm not running from you. I'm not going to be scared.
It's just, sometimes it's just so simple. Like the truth has to be simple. Otherwise, it's not the truth.
I was so trapped in my head before. When I say my whole life changed, like my whole life changed.
I'm Coach Daniel, and this is the Sleep Coach School.
Hi everyone, welcome to the Sleep Coach School channel. My name is Alina and this is my first solo episode where I'm going to share with you some of my insights on the insomnia recovery journey. And first of all, I want just to share with you that recently Coach Daniel has approached me and offered me to start creating some of the content for this channel. So, and I was really excited to go for it because I hope that anything that I learned during my insomnia recovery journey can also help others who are on the same path. And I want to start today's episode basically introducing the topic, which is napping during insomnia recovery journey. The way how I structure today's episode basically in three parts. So the first part, we are going to talk about the general kind of like perspective of these teachings on napping, whether it is okay to nap or not okay to nap. I'm going to explore a little bit why is it that for some people napping during insomnia becomes very challenging. And then I'm going to discuss a little bit like what can make it again like easier, what can bring back this kind of ability to nap during the day. I want to start this with generally introducing like our vision on whether naps are okay or not okay. Basically, yes, it is allowed to nap during insomnia recovery journey. I know that it can be contradicting with some of the teachings such as CBTI that has a quite rigid outlook on that, which is basically naps are a bad thing during recovery. It kind of like steals our sleep drive. But I don't quite agree with that kind of statement because even during my insomnia experience, my problem was not actually the lack of sleep drive. I think I had plenty of it because I was struggling a lot with sleeping or not sleeping. But the problem is actually in the hyperarousal, the abundance of that hyperarousal, the fear around not being able to sleep. And that fear triggers our survival mechanisms, making it very difficult for sleep to happen. And this is why it is not really the issue of a sleep drive. From this kind of like outlook, this is why napping is allowed. It is not going to completely steal our whole sleep drive. And just to kind of like show this like in practice, basically we can think about maybe our life before insomnia. Maybe there were moments when we took nap during the day and then it didn't actually impact our night in any significant way. Or maybe we can look at people who don't have insomnia, but they also kind of like nap during the day. And we can see that even though they took a nap, it doesn't really impact their sleep at night. So in this way, nap is not a problem. Nap is completely allowed. It will not steal our whole sleep drive. Of course, I'm not talking about situations when we, let's say, take a nap at 6 p.m. and then we sleep for 4 hours and then we wake up and then we are wakeful for some time. Naturally, of course, it can delay our sleep for a while, but again, it cannot take our whole sleep drive. So we don't have to be really afraid of naps. But what can make it tricky is our thinking, our beliefs around naps. Whatever we think that whether naps, like let's say when we think that naps are not okay, naps is something that will prevent me from sleeping at night, then we are going to feel more hyper-aroused when we actually do take nap. And that hyper-arousal, that fear or thinking about naps is what can make it challenging to sleep at night. Nap itself is not a problem, but fearing that it is a problem, that's what kind of like creates this hyper-arousal, making sleep more challenging. I know that many people kind of like have this internal conflict, whether I should nap or not. Of course, it is not something that we are obliged to nap and or we have to. But I just want to make it clear that it is not a big deal if we do take nap. I think napping can feel nice, wonderful, and it's completely okay to go for it. If that is something that can make our day at least a little bit better, I don't judge people based on like whether they prefer to nap or not. Now, I know that for some people that can be challenging, actually. To take a nap becomes very challenging. Even though they would like to have some rest during the day, they find themselves unable to actually nap. And this was the case for me as well. During my insomnia experience, I thought I actually lost the ability to nap during the day. No matter how hard I tried, no matter how calm I was still not able to actually relax during the day. And this part is mostly for those people who also find it difficult to kind of like rest and nap during the day. I know that not everyone has this kind of like issue. I know that some people actually don't have any problem with napping, and this is great. So for those who find it challenging, I hope that this, you know, part of this video is going to be helpful. So first, it makes sense to talk about why is it that nap suddenly becomes difficult. First of all, we didn't lose this ability. It's not gone. It's not unlearned. It's not broken. It is still there. It is just masked behind this layer of pressure, layer of hyperarousal. And just, I'm going to talk about it a bit later in this video, but I want to say right now that it is possible to kind of like get this ability back. And I'm going to talk about later, like in more detail. But there are two possible reasons why napping becomes difficult during insomnia experience. And the first is, generally speaking, the fearful association with sleep. When we struggle with insomnia, we kind of like accumulate a lot of these painful memories of us struggling with sleep during the night. And it might kind of like transfer to any type of sleep, no matter where it is or when it is. Even during the day when we kind of like lie down and we try to prepare ourselves for like resting and sleeping, that association might kind of like evoke those memories and making us more hyper aroused, more alert, which can make it trickier for sleep to happen during the day. The second reason is to actually pressure to nap. When we think that, and this is actually really common, when a person has, let's say, didn't sleep much at all or at all at night, then they feel like, okay, now I have to get enough of hours during the day. So this kind of like this pressure to sleep during the day, that's what makes sleep again challenging. It's valid for any type of like, doesn't matter if it's like day sleep or night sleep, any sort of pressure is going to create more challenge when it comes to sleep. So whenever we think like we have to nap so that we get enough of sleep hours or we kind of like get into in the safe zone, this is what makes it so tricky, because nap then turns into a task. It becomes very performative. It becomes this kind of like obligation. And the true nature of nap or the true purpose of nap is actually to rest, to let go of pressure, to not do anything, to relax. And this is where like our intention to catch up with sleep, to let's say get rid of tiredness, like we feel like we have to sleep, we have to nap. This is what can make a nap more challenging. And for me, there was another reason why there was so much pressure around napping. And it is because for me, nap was kind of like a mini test on my ability to sleep. So I thought that, okay, I cannot sleep during the night, but if I'm able to get even like, I don't know, 10 or 20 minutes of sleep during the day, then I can show myself that I'm able to sleep. So for me, like nap became kind of like a measurement of my success. So if I can pass this mini test, then it means that, you know, I can sleep. But paradoxically, because I perceived it as like a test for my ability to sleep, then of course it created so much pressure on me, and it was very difficult for me to actually relax and you know, rest during the day. So pressure is definitely something to contribute to difficulty to nap during the day. Now, let's talk about what can be done when we find ourselves in this difficult situation. And of course, it can be very frustrating because we have like, we struggle during the night and then we also struggle during the day. And I hope that the insights that I'm going to talk about here are going to be helpful. So the first thing that we need to keep in mind is, again, since the difficulty to nap is based on the pressure, we need to let go of forcing ourselves to nap. For me, as I said, like ability, quote unquote, ability to nap came as one of the last things on my journey. So for maybe like 99% of my whole experience, I actually couldn't. I couldn't nap during the day, even though I've already been doing better in terms of like, you know, I had less hyperarousal, I had better sleep, but there was still part of me that was a little bit fearful around this, you know, like napping. So for me, it was kind of like this ability was not available for majority of my journey. And I think it's helpful to not pressure that, not to try to rush through this process and make it happen right now. Allowing things to take their own time and unfold however they unfold is the best thing we can do for ourselves, is the kindest thing to that we can do for ourselves. Because in the absence of pressure, in this kind of like in creating this space for all the things to just like just develop and evolve however they evolve, that's what can actually facilitate and maybe even speed up this process. So not forcing napping is one of the kind of like general, you know, approaches here. Now, another thing that might be helpful is to revisit the whole idea of napping, because it might be that right now that our idea of napping equals sleep. So we think that nap only counts if it includes sleep. But this again introduces pressure, because if, let's say, we choose to nap during the day, but then it doesn't kind of like end up with us sleeping, then we get very frustrated. We feel like we have failed at this task. And again, we think about nap as a task, and that's not really helpful. What I find really useful here is to switch our, you know, concept of nap towards resting, not making it just about sleeping. Although it can happen that we will, you know, it will end up with sleeping, but it doesn't have to end up with sleeping. And maybe it can even help, like, to think about that our own experience before we had insomnia, that is it always true that every time we napped, it ended up with us sleeping? Maybe we can find actually evidence that some naps just were just, you know, relaxed awake state, and that was enough. There was no frustration. There was no this self-blame that was going on when we just kind of like were awake, but just like resting during this napping. So it might really help to realize that not every nap has to actually end up with us sleeping, and that can reduce a lot of pressure. So how that makes sense so far? Then another point what makes sense is to start considering the place from which we make the decision to nap. And I find that choosing to rest because we feel like it, because we want to, is much better than choosing to rest because we feel like we have to. So when there is this kind of like an obligation component, then it might be helpful just to see, do we actually really want to rest right now, or do we think that we have to? So that can already change a little bit of our perception, because we are allowed to rest if that's a genuine kind of like desire. We don't have to limit ourselves in that, but also know that we don't have to force it. And this is connected to the next point, which is basically not everyone is really a nap person. And it might happen that, you know, like a person like previously was not really a big kind of like a napper person. They didn't, you know, rested during the day, and that was completely okay. So not everyone actually needs to have rest during the day. Sometimes we can, you know, like get through like without that. So also realizing that, you know, there might be just like kind of like a type of a personality who's, you know, like for whom napping is not like, you know, a regular thing, and that's completely okay. And I also know people in my, you know, surroundings who also like they don't nap. They don't. That's not their thing, and they don't have insomnia, so they don't struggle with sleep, but they just, it's not their thing, and they never were able to actually nap. So just knowing that not everyone actually has like this kind of like tendency to nap, that can also reduce a lot of pressure. And the last thing here is that also we don't have to be afraid of napping, because I know that there is a lot of like the pressure that, oh, like if I'm napping that I'm doing something wrong, or maybe I'm kind of taking away my, you know, sleep drive. And as I said earlier, napping is completely allowed. It is our free choice. So what is more important here is not that we have to nap, or we don't have, or we shouldn't nap. It's more about that recognizing that we do have a choice when it comes to how we want to spend our days. And thinking of napping or resting during the day as one of the possibilities, of many possibilities, how we can introduce a little bit more of self-care and self-kindness on this journey, that can already start to change our perception of napping. Instead of making it as a kind of like a tool to gain something, it's more like our ally. something that can allow us to, you know, get through some rough patches. And again, but by napping, I don't mean sleeping. We don't have to actually sleep. It can be just resting. So when it feels like, you know what, I'm having a very rough day, and actually just lying down for a while, that could make my day even like 5% a little bit better, it's worth considering. It's not a bad thing. So just wanted to kind of like share it with you that we have much more freedom than we think we do. So it also applies to napping. I hope that this episode was helpful to you. And if you have any questions regarding this, feel free to write in comments, and I will see you in one of the next videos. Bye.
That was all for today. I hope you found this episode really eye-opening. And if you're looking for something more tangible, then head over to our website, thesleepcoachschool.com, and you'll find several coaching options where our teachings can be contextualized for you personally. If you decide to join, we look forward to seeing you on the other side.